Tonight, is President Trump about to go under oath face-to-face with Robert Mueller? NBC News breaks the story. Negotiations are underway. But sources tell us the president's lawyers may be trying to get him out of it. The speech and the speculation.
So I want all the girls watching here and now to know that a new day is on the horizon.
Oprah's stirring message sets off a frenzy, calls for her to run for president. Her longtime partner stoking speculation. Tonight, the White House responds. Are your kids addicted to their iPhones? Major investors in Apple sounding the alarm and pushing the company to do something before it's too late. The simple mistake that could cost you big time. A new alert about how so many people are getting scammed, something we've all done on the web. And new concerns being raised about ibuprofen and fertility. What couples trying to have a baby should hear.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. It could potentially be the most extraordinary moment yet in the Russia investigation. President Trump answering questions face-to-face from special counsel Robert Mueller. NBC News broke the story detailing a legal dance underway right now between Mueller's office and the president's lawyers over how and where Mr. Trump might submit to questioning. Tonight, there are signs it could happen soon. The president is still insisting there is no collusion, but Mueller's team apparently is not ready to put this case to bed. Our Kristen Welker has exclusive details.
Tonight, NBC News has learned President Trump could meet face-to-face with special counsel Robert Mueller within a matter of weeks as a part of the ongoing Russia probe. The president's legal team and federal investigators met in December to discuss a range of options. According to three sources familiar with the matter, those options include whether the president would be interviewed directly by the special counsel or his investigators or provide written responses, the location, duration, and topics. Legal experts say it's unlikely investigators would agree to anything other than an in-person interview.
Prosecutors want a live body in front of them for lots of reasons, including they want to be able to assess tone and inflection. They want to ask follow-up questions. They want to be able to probe.
When asked over the weekend if he's still committed to speaking with Mueller in person, Mr. Trump deflected.
Just so you understand. There's been no collusion.
But defense attorneys say there are a range of pitfalls to the president testifying in person, pointing to former President Bill Clinton, who seemed uncomfortable at times when he appeared before a grand jury in 1998 about the Lewinsky scandal.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes. President Trump may be a unique legal challenge.
He will go off script. He is very hard to control, and control is the key element when you have a client facing a potential investigation.
Meanwhile, tonight, the White House is blasting a report from Axios that the president's private schedule has been dialed back significantly, cutting his time in the Oval Office in favor of time watching TV and tweeting, a spokesman calling questions about his schedule and work ethic ludicrous. A lawyer for the president says they're cooperating with investigators and want the Russia probe resolved quickly. Among other key questions we'll be watching if the president is interviewed, will it be under oath? Lester.
Kristen Welker at the White House, thank you. Now to the speech and the speculation that have people talking from Washington to Hollywood and just about everywhere in between. Oprah bringing down the house last night at the Golden Globes with a powerful message about women's empowerment. And whether she intended it or not, it set off a frenzy of calls for her to challenge President Trump in 2020. Tonight, the White House is responding, saying they'd welcome that challenge. We get details from NBC's Cynthia McFadden.
Speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have.
Last night at the Golden Globes, Oprah Winfrey did what she is perhaps uniquely qualified to do. Captured this raw, complicated moment in history in a breathtaking televised speech.
So I want all the girls watching here and now to know that a new day is on the horizon.
Last night, she made the case for women standing up against abuse, suggesting a new and united way forward.
And when that new day finally dawns, it will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight, and some pretty phenomenal men fighting hard to make sure that nobody ever has to say "Me Too" again.
Rousing words, optimistic words, perhaps a candidate's words? The hashtag Oprah2020 trending overnight, some tweeting how Oprah's words gave them hope for the future, a sense of inclusiveness, which they feel is sorely lacking from the White House. There have been polls done over the years that suggest she would be a formidable candidate if she wants. But does she want? In an interview on Bloomberg last March, it came up.
I never considered the question even a possibility. Oh, gee, I don't have the experience. I don't know enough. I don't know. And now I'm thinking, oh.
After her speech, her longtime partner, Stedman Graham, fueled the speculation, telling the LA Times, it's up to the people. She would absolutely do it. No word today from Oprah. Cynthia McFadden, NBC News, New York.
Are you worried about how much time your child spends glued to their phones? Well, then take heart. So are some of Apple's biggest investors who have issued a new warning tonight, urging the tech giant to take action now to deal with smartphone addiction in our children. NBC's Stephanie Gosk has the details.
Snapchat, YouTube, Instagram. Is all this time on smartphones bad for our kids?
We're seeing increases in anxiety, increases in depression, certainly increases in sleep deprivation because they're staying up late at night texting each other.
Now two large shareholders are calling on Apple to step up, writing in part, it is both unrealistic and a poor long-term business strategy to ask parents to fight this battle alone. The letter asks Apple to help develop better apps for parents that limit time and content on their children's phone. 50% of teens say they are addicted to their devices. And according to one study, eighth graders who spend lots of time on social media have a 27% higher risk of depression. A year ago, we had a group of teens track their daily phone time.
4 hours and 26 minutes.
I'm over 9 hours.
We asked those same kids to give up their phones for a week.
I'm already really bored.
Kind of sucks.
But then something interesting.
I guess I should, like, start not going on the phone as much.
Did anyone else feel something similar?
Yeah.
Almost sure. Everyone nodded.
I went to dinner with my family. I didn't have my phone, so we really just, like, talked the whole time. And that was nice.
Giving up phones entirely is, of course, not realistic. But being smarter about smartphones is something parents and now perhaps Apple itself cannot ignore.
Lester, Apple has responded tonight saying that the company has always looked out for kids and that it leads the industry by offering parental controls built right into the operating system to help restrict certain apps and services. They also say that they will have new features down the road.
And yes, talking can be very nice.
It's nice, yeah.
Stephanie, thank you. Good to have you here. Authorities in Colorado have released stunning new police body cam video from the shooting ambush that left one officer dead and several more injured on New Year's Eve. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has the details. And a note, the video is graphic.
Responding to a domestic disturbance call, Douglas County Sheriff's deputies faced a volley of gunfire, captured in this edited body camera footage.
I'm bleeding. Where in the chest? Where in the chest? Right here.
Five officers down, injured, fighting to stay alive as the suspect continues to unload.
You're okay. You're okay. I don't see blood. I don't see blood. Oh, I see blood. He's shooting out the window.
Get it out of here.
An ambush-style attack. More than 100 shots fired before the gunman was killed.
Men and women were on that call that night. They did exactly what they were trained to do.
Deputy Zach Parrish lost his life. Four other officers wounded but survived. Parrish leaves behind a wife and two young girls, hailed as a hero, protecting the community he served. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
There are some staggering figures out tonight from the folks at NOAA. If it feels to you like we haven't seen anything like the string of disasters of late, that's because we haven't. Scientists say the U.S. had $16 billion disasters last year. Hurricanes, wildfires, floods, tornadoes, and drought, costing a record $306 billion. Leading the way was Hurricane Harvey, which did $125 billion in damage alone. And then on the heels of all that, the blizzard and the record cold that started off the year for a lot of us. And as a lot of places are still digging out, tonight 45 million people are under new winter weather advisories. We get the latest on all of it from NBC's Morgan Radford.
Cars spinning out of control. An icy mess for Monday commuters.
I overcorrected and slid off the side of the interstate.
Millions across the country trying to dig out of deadly conditions that have already claimed more than 24 lives since Christmas. In Pittsburgh, cars going up in flames.
What's the day been like for you guys today?
Video emerged last week of kids bundled up inside Baltimore classrooms with no heat. Several schools closed today for snow as officials investigate the problem.
They're not fit for our children to go into. We need our children into safe places.
Further north, cleanup crews in Massachusetts hard at work after record flooding.
This is the worst disaster we have had.
Frozen lakes stretching for miles. Boats stuck on ice for 2 weeks.
The stretch of cold has just been brutal. It's been brutal.
But for much of the country, temperatures are finally warming up. For the first time since Christmas, several major cities, including Buffalo, Boston, and Providence, all saw highs above freezing. Operations at New York's JFK Airport closer to normal after a weekend of chaos. Thousands of stranded passengers, a nasty water main break, and mountains of lost luggage.
Our baggage just got lost for 7 hours, so we've been here for like 8 hours.
But as the snow melts away, frustrations continue.
Even though the snow is just beginning to fall as we speak, areas in the Northeast could see temperatures as high as 50 by Thursday. Lester?
All right, Morgan Radford, thank you. With just about a month to go until the Winter Olympics, North Korea and South Korea are meeting this evening for the first formal diplomatic talks they've held in over 2 years. At the center, key questions over whether North Korea will take part in next month's games, possibly easing tensions in the region. NBC's Bill Neely is in Seoul.
Tonight, the high-stakes talks will happen here at the world's most militarized border. Officials from North and South Korea, mistrustful, but meeting in the so-called Peace House we filmed inside before. They're talking just yards from where a North Korean soldier was shot sprinting to freedom across the border 6 weeks ago. The talks focus not on the nuclear threat, but on the Winter Olympics in South Korea next month. The North wants in. Kim Jong-un suggesting dialogue, even as he threatened the U.S. with a nuclear button on his desk. The president calling talks a good idea.
It's a start. It's a big start.
Even suggesting he's open to talking with Kim if he abandons his nuclear program.
We should lower our expectations. This is merely the tiniest sliver of an opening, but it is a real opening.
But many here in Seoul and in Washington are suspicious, worried that Kim Jong-un is trying to drive a wedge between them and the U.S., using the Olympic talks as a weapon. So, yes, they are an opportunity and a risk. Lester?
Bill Neely for us in South Korea tonight. Thank you. There's news this evening about the health of Mitt Romney. Sources close to the former presidential nominee say he was successfully treated for prostate cancer last summer. The news comes as Romney is widely expected to mount a run for Senate from Utah, where Republican Orrin Hatch is retiring. The greatest tech show on earth opens tomorrow in Las Vegas. The annual Consumer Electronics Show, featuring all the cutting-edge trends and drawing over 175,000 people. And 2018 is all about robots and artificial intelligence. NBC business correspondent Jolene Kent has a preview.
The robots are coming, equipped with artificial intelligence and personality. The Renaissance Hotel deploys Elvis and Priscilla to check on guest Wi-Fi and deliver room service.
Oh, hello. All right. Towels, bath products, everything you could need. Thanks, Priscilla. Nice to meet you.
I think it brings guests into the hotel for that wow factor, especially here in Vegas.
Keeker, project on the ceiling.
Keeker can be a television and a security guard rolled into one, projecting streaming content and monitoring your home.
This is the Yumly platform.
And in the kitchen, a new app from Yumly captures the food already in your fridge.
Here we have some asparagus. Oh, that's salmon. Oh, we've got some beautiful potatoes.
It suggests recipes that are sent directly to a new smart Whirlpool oven that preheats on its own and then tells you exactly what to do.
We want people to enjoy cooking again and feel like they can do it.
The stuff of science fiction now rolling into reality. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Las Vegas.
Still ahead here tonight. Be careful next time you type in that web address, how scam artists can use your own typos to rip you off, and what you should be doing to protect yourself. Also, a new alert for men about a very common painkiller. We'll tell you more about it in a moment. We're back now with a new warning about something just about every one of us has done. You're on the web, you type in that address, but you accidentally mistype a letter here and a letter there, and who knows where you end up. Sometimes you end up on a page that looks like what you were looking for, but in fact, it's set up by thieves looking to take your money. NBC's Tom Costello has extensively covered the hacking of America for us and has the latest alert.
We've all done it, mistyped a web address by just a single letter. Netflix with an E after the T, Southwester instead of Southwest, Google with an extra E.
I had mistyped Costco, C-O-S-T-O-C-O. com.
That extra O landed Alan Stern on a website that looked like Costco, where he was asked to fill out a survey to get a free bottle of face cream if he paid for shipping. He talked to KNTV in San Francisco.
I looked at my credit card statement, and there's four $98 charges on my account.
It wasn't until he called Costco to complain that he learned it wasn't their website that had taken his money. It's called typo squatting. Website addresses often run by overseas criminals just waiting for our fat finger typos.
They look for a major brand name, a website address that you'd normally visit, and they add a letter, remove a letter, maybe choose two that are really similar on the keyboard.
The victims, you and me, are often convinced to type in our personal information, maybe click on a link that infects our computer, even faced with a warning that it's already been infected and we need to update the security software. All of it a scam.
This is actually totally fake.
This is not legit.
This is not an update screen.
We found a long list of typo-squatting websites registered in Russia, Germany, even Australia, and the U.S.
Typo-squatting isn't big or clever, but it's effective.
To protect their customers, companies often register the common misspellings of their own websites. But security experts warn that little padlock on the address bar is no guarantee the website is legit. The best advice? Be skeptical and double-check your spelling. Tom Costello, NBC News, Boston.
Coming up here tonight, a big rite of passage today for Princess Charlotte. There's a new alert out tonight for men about ibuprofen. A new study finds that men who take high doses of ibuprofen for months at a time may be at greater risk of fertility problems and other health issues. Researchers found too much ibuprofen can disrupt hormone production. The effects, which need more study, may be reversible. An industry group, meantime, says the safety of these drugs is well documented. A scary scene early this morning here in New York. Smoke billowing from the roof of Trump Tower, the president's signature skyscraper and his home. The fire department says it started in the heating and air conditioning system. Firefighters quickly putting it out after being alerted to it by Secret Service. Three people were injured, including a firefighter. All are expected to be okay. And she's growing up so fast. Kensington Palace released new photos of Princess Charlotte moments before she went off to her first day of nursery school, sporting a red coat and pink scarf. The palace says mom, Kate Middleton, took the pictures herself. Charlotte turns three in May, and this spring she's also set to become a big sister. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thanks for watching, and good night.